The gospel of Jesus Christ is something that angels would long to look at.
He seems to care not only that I live, but how I live.
You're going to have to pick and choose. Go with God's word or go with what the world is saying. You need to come down into the Word of God and try and test everything according to the Word of God, which is the plumb line, which helps us to know, is it true or is it false? Preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit.
I've got a God who really is intricately involved in the affairs of man.
Force every sinew muscle within you to give it all it's got and go all the way to the finish line. It's a labor, and it's a labor of love. The love expresses itself in toil, in sweat, and blood, and tears, and going all the way. And he says, as I remember,
every word is given of God, and therefore it is the end, it is perfect, it is the full inspiration of God. It is the only source of authority that you and I have.
This is Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. Dr. White is presenting a series of sermons about Christian generosity, and we're calling it Taking Part with a Generous Heart. Today, Dr. White is continuing a message from yesterday's broadcast. Here's Dr. White to introduce today's portion of the sermon.
And yesterday we began talking about the economy of God, the miraculous economy of God. We began to learn that his economy, like his thoughts, is not like ours. We operate on supply and demand, and that great rule of economy, if you spend your money on one thing, you can't also spend it on another. But God's economy is so much different. And so again today, we're going to talk about the economy of God. A fundamentally important principle for the Christian to understand. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. We've been studying chapters 8 and 9, and tomorrow we'll conclude this series, Taking Part with a Generous Heart. Of course, you can get all the archives online at www.randywhiteministries.org. Let me encourage you today to call and get this series of 5 sermons. We'll send it to you on CD for $16, shipping and handling included. And we'd love to get it out your way today or tomorrow. Or you can go on our website and you can download the full-length sermons, 5 of them, uninterrupted, and broadcast in their totality. Download them for $10. Again, the website's www.randywhiteministries.org. And the phone number, it's toll-free, is 1-855-437-9448. Once again, that's 1-855-437-9448. When you call, also ask about our call-in special if you'd be interested. We've got 2 great little booklets, the 3 Statements of Thomas and The Faith of Benjamin Franklin, both available, $12 for both of them, shipping and handling included. Would love to include those with your order. You know, when you order from Randy White Ministries, it really is a blessing to us in that it helps us to purchase the airtime and the internet bandwidth and all the expenses that are involved in producing and delivering and distributing a broadcast like this one, as well as the other articles that we put forth through email and on our website. So your $16 donation really does go a long way, and we would be encouraged if you would call us today, 1-855-437-9448. Well, once again, we are talking about the economy of God, how it's different from ours. Picking up in this sermon from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, a powerful passage of scripture, chapters 8 and 9, God's miraculous economy.
God is able to make all grace abound toward you so that you, being sufficient in all things, might do what? Abound to every good work. This is the way God's economy works. When we're willing to abound to God's work, he's willing and able to abound his grace unto us so that we can do this work. But God's economy is not such that if you're not one who is willing to abound to every good work, that he's going to abound anything to you. You see, God's economy is not, let me give this to you so you can sit on the can. Let me give this to you so you can stuff it under the mattress. Let me give this to you so you can protect it. In your words, be a good steward of it. Let me give this to you so that no one else will ever get a hold of it. No, he says, I want to give to those who will abound to every good work. We talk sometimes about the gift of giving. The gift of giving involves the gift of getting too, doesn't it? And God here tells us how to get in on this gift of generosity. In his economy, he is able to make every grace abound towards you. Now, in the middle of verse 8, notice it says, so that always having all sufficiency in everything. I like that sentence in Greek even better than English, because Greek presses it in every way to say always, all times, all places, all things, every way that Greek could come up with to say all, Paul just packed it in that sentence. All. God is able to make every need taken care of, every ministry met, all grace abound toward you so that you would always have all sufficiency in all things so that you may abound to every good deed. That is the heart of God's economy right there. God abounds to you so that you may abound to every good work. It's a flow that goes through. Many of you have been to the Dead Sea. If you haven't, you ought to go sometime. And at the Dead Sea, of course, you know why it's dead, don't you? It's dead because it's the lowest place on earth. And the water flows there into the world's biggest hole, basically 1,400 feet below sea level. And, of course, the water always goes downhill, and so it gets there. And water doesn't go up without some help, does it? And so when water gets in the Dead Sea, where does it stay? In the Dead Sea. There's no outflow from the Dead Sea. It comes in, but it doesn't go out. Well, it does go out in a manner, doesn't it? Because we all learned in junior high science class about the water cycle, didn't we? And so the sun comes out. It's also one of the hottest places on earth, as you can imagine, in the desert there at the lowest point on earth. And the sun comes out, and what happens to the water? It evaporates, that's right. But you also learned back in your science class that only the water evaporates. What about all the salt, all the minerals there? They don't evaporate. They stay there. So now what you've got is an ultra-mineral-rich ooze. If you've ever been in it, that's pretty. It's a wonderful mineral bath. I mean, you've heard about how you float in the Dead Sea. It's not because you lost weight or anything. It's because you couldn't sink if you wanted to, because that ooze that you're in is not really water. In fact, I understand that if you were to drink about a cup of it, just a cup of it would be enough to kill you. Because it is so rich in its mineral content, it will hold even the biggest of you up. You couldn't sink in it. Now, what causes that? The water comes in, but it can't get out. It evaporates. It leaves this sea in which there is absolutely no life, no living organisms, no fish, no salamanders. Nothing gets in that water and lives. And so it is literally the Dead Sea. Now, that's not God's plan of economy, that all good things would flow into your life and abound into your life, and you would just lock them up and throw away the key and protect them for later use. You remember that story about the talents, and one received five and one received two talents. Another fellow received one talent, and what did he do with it? He decided, I'm going to lock it up. I'm going to keep it away. I'm going to bury it in a coffee can in the backyard, and it'll be safe when the master comes. And the master was very upset with him because he didn't take it and invest it. He says, my economy is I'm coming back, and I want there to be a flow through. I want there to be a return. This is fundamental in the economy of God. God is able, that is, he can make all grace abound toward you so that you, having all sufficiency in all things, might abound to every good work. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, he said that God is able to supply all, what? Your needs, according to his riches in glory.
Our broadcast will continue in just a moment. Randy White Ministries has a free DVD with 90 minutes of Dr. White's teaching on the very interesting and relevant subject of the Antichrist. To receive this free offer, give us a call today. The toll-free number is 1-855-437-9448. When you request the DVD, we will also put you on our mailing list so that you can receive regular articles, devotional material, and even sermon CDs that Dr. White sends out free of charge several times each year. Once again, call us toll-free at 1-855-437-9448.
That's 1-855-4-DR-WHITE. Now, let's get back to our broadcast.
God is able to do that. Not a one of us here, I suppose, would deny God's ability in this regard. Now, in verse 9, we're given an example of this. When it says in verse 9, he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. If you were not careful and didn't go back and check that reference, which is a quote, by the way, from Psalm 112, verse 9, when it says he scattered abroad, you might think it was talking about God. God scattered abroad. God gave to the poor. God's righteousness endures forever. But this is not talking about God. This is talking about a man in Psalm 112. Nothing's about God in there. It's all about a man, a righteous man. It's a description of a righteous man. And in that description of a righteous man, one of the things that it says about that righteous man is he scatters abroad. That is, he puts his seed out there. That is, he abounds to every good work. He gives to the poor. This is a righteous man. He's always distributing. And then it says, his righteousness endures forever. Now, that's interesting. When you and I think about righteousness, we think about our sanctification, don't we? I'm a righteous person. But that's not really the word for righteousness that's here. The picture that's given here is those righteous deeds of that man who scatters abroad and gives to the poor, they keep on, it's a gift that keeps on giving. In fact, it's really saying this to the skeptic. Well, that man, if he keeps being so generous out there, he's going to run out of money. He's never going to be able to give anything again because he's going to give it all away. And Paul, using this example of how God's able to continue to abound towards you as you continue to abound towards every good work, he says, remember that righteous man in the psalm? It said he scattered abroad, he gave to the poor, and his righteousness. It's the word from which we get the English word almsgiving. His almsgiving continues forever. His bucket never runs dry. Well, that just doesn't make sense, does it? How could you have that kind of situation in which you scatter abroad and give to the poor and don't find yourself in the poorhouse? Well, because you're thinking God's economy, excuse me, you're thinking man's economy if you're thinking that way. God's economy is he's able to continue to make all grace abound toward you so that you would always be sufficient in all things so that you could scatter abroad, you could give to the poor, and it would never run dry. Remember the examples of scripture, there's a couple of them. One is with Elisha as he comes in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. A fabulous little story there as a widow of one of the prophets comes to Elisha and says, you know, Elisha, my husband was a prophet. He was a godly man, but he's dead now. And guess what? She says, the creditors are coming and they're selling my sons into slavery. Can you help me? And he says, can I help you? Says, what have you got? She says, I hadn't got anything but one little jar of oil. He says, go borrow some more jugs. Get all the jugs you can. In fact, he says, don't get just a few. You get every jug you can come up with. And she went out to her neighbors and got the jugs. And he said, now go into the house, close the door, and start pouring that little jar of oil into those jugs. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense, does it? Unless you know that God is able to make all grace abound toward you so that you, being sufficient in all things, might continue to abound in every good work. And she went with God's economy, and she took that little jug of oil that she had, and she began to pour it into those other jugs, and she kept pouring, and she said, bring me another one. Her sons brought her another one. She poured some more. Bring me another one. They brought another one. She kept going through this. Finally, she said, bring me another one. They said, Mama, that's all we got. That's all there is. And that's when the last drop fell out. 2 Kings chapter 4. Verses 1 through 7. Now, there's a wonderful picture, isn't it? And Elisha says, take that oil, go sell what you need to pay off the creditors, and then live on the rest. You're taken care of. It happened also to Elijah, Elisha's predecessor. And Elisha was instructed to go to a widow woman named Zarephath. This is a Gentile woman. And he says, go there because I have commanded her to take care of you. Now, don't you ever just want to sit down with God and have a talk with him for a minute? First of all, God, this is a Gentile woman dealing with a Jewish prophet. Don't you know how this thing works? Why not pick a Jewish woman? In fact, God, this is a widow woman, and she has no income, and she has no family. Pick that wealthy businessman. He can take care of Elijah real well. But he says, go to that woman, widow woman. I've commanded her to take care of you. And he goes and finds this widow woman and says, give me some water. She gives him some water and says, now why don't you make a cake for me? And she says, I was about to make a cake. I was about to make my very last cake because I've got a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil enough to make a cake for me and my son, and we'll eat it and then we will die. We're to the end of it. And he said, go make that cake and bring it here. And she went and made that cake. It was German chocolate. And he ate every bit of that cake. And that woman went, and there was some more oil and some more flour. And she made another one, and she made another one. And Elijah said, woman, God will take care of you until the rains finally come 3.5 years from now. Because God is able to make all grace abound toward you, so that you, when you abound to every good work, will be all sufficient in all things.
Was Benjamin Franklin a man of Christian faith or just a man of Christian virtue? He is one of the most well-known American figures worldwide. He is looked to as the elder statesman of the founding fathers, a man of moral virtue, biblical knowledge, and tremendous wit. But was Benjamin Franklin a born-again Christian? Order The Faith of Benjamin Franklin by Dr. Randy White, an easy-to-read 50-page booklet about one of our most famous founding fathers. The booklet is only $7.95 and is available at www.randywhiteministries.org or by calling us toll-free at 1-855-437-9448. Now, let's get back to our broadcast.
Those two widow women could have said, no, this is all we've got. We've got to hoard it. We've got to keep it. We've got to protect it. We've got to stretch it as far as we can do it. Or we can be obedient to the word of the Lord, and we can give it away sparingly, bountifully, beautifully as a blessing. And they did just that, and God proved himself here. The one who scatters abroad, he gave to the poor. He scattered abroad, he gave to the poor. But his almsgiving, his good deeds, as it's used in Matthew chapter 6, verse 1, don't exercise your righteousness before men in order to be praised by them. That word righteousness there is the almsgiving. Don't exercise it before men to be admired by men, but rather do this in secret and do it for God. Here's the one who comes and he gives and he gives and he gives. Have you ever heard the preacher say that little saying, you can't outgive God? Sure you have. Where does that come from in the Bible? Right here. Nowhere in the Bible does it say you can't outgive God. But here's what it says, isn't it? You can't outgive God. Because God's economy is when you abound to every good work, he's going to take care of you. I know that some of you are thinking, well, you know, I'm going to give someday when I have lots of money. No, that's not how God's economy works. God's economy says, right here, right now, begin to give. I had a testimony of someone who said they heard a sermon like this years and years ago. It was a single mom, and she was just struggling to pay the bills and heard this sermon. And she says, I'm going to let her tell the story someday for you, but she says she was just really kind of ignoring the Sunday school lesson because she knew it didn't apply to her because this was for the rich people in the class. And she had a brave enough Sunday school teacher that called her up and said, I noticed you weren't listening Sunday. Can you imagine that? And she says, well, no, I wasn't. I'm a single mom. I don't have anything to give. Said, by the time I pay the rent and the bills, I've just barely got enough money for groceries. And this woman said, I tell you what, you give your grocery money, and if you ever go hungry, you can eat at my house. And our church member took her up on it. And she said, she saw her the next Sunday, and she said, I got enough groceries to get us through till Tuesday. And she said, well, come eat Tuesday night if you need to. And our church member said, on Monday, she got a check in the mail, a refund of a deposit from the utility company. Went on, she spent that, and well, that's a fluke, you know, and wasn't before long, and Until her boss called her in and said, you know, this other assistant has left and you're being promoted up here. Now you got some more money. She said she never had to go over to that lady's house to eat. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. I don't know how he's going to do it. I don't understand how he meets those needs. But he tells us here he's certainly able to do so. But notice that that's what God can do. I think we've got to do our part here in our bountiful, purposeful, cheerful giving, abounding to every good work. God takes care of us. He can take care of us. But look at when he gets into verse 10, he says, "Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing." Here we have not God's ability, but God's declaration. He will do it. He will do it. Why will he do it? Because it will increase the harvest of your righteousness. So we're told what God can do. He can make every grace abound towards you. What will he do when you come in and say, "I'm going to scatter abroad, I'm going to give to the poor"? God says he will supply seed to the sower. He doesn't supply seed to the one who stores it. He supplied seed to the one who sows it, who puts it out there, who plants it. It says he will provide bread for food. That's interesting that those words are used. It seems like a little obvious repetition. What else do you use bread for, right? And literally in the Greek it says he will provide bread for eating. That is, he's going to put the daily bread on your table. He's going to take care of you. He may not provide all the storage you want to say, you know, "I can get through the next 15 years should the grocery stores cut down. I'm ready." I hope you've put some of that aside and are ready for that day. But here it says he provides seed for the one who's going to plant it. He provides bread for the one who's going to give it away so it can be eaten. Bread for eating he will provide.
And he's done so, hasn't he? We pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," and he's done so. And there have been times in my life and yours as well, where we, as the Ecclesiastes said, cast our bread upon the waters. And after many days, it came back. We provided for others the bread, wondering, "Now how in the world is God going to take care of me?" And he never failed you, did he? You see, that's the way God's economy works. It is so different than the economy of man. The scripture is very clear on this. I'm not a health, wealth, and prosperity preacher at all, but I am one who believes in the literal understanding and interpreting of the Word of God. And the scripture tells us that God provides seed for the sower. Friend, I want to encourage you to be a seed planter, trusting in God. We'll conclude this sermon tomorrow, the very last sermon of this series, Taking Part with a Generous Heart.
If this series has encouraged you, would you consider supporting our ministry by giving a donation to receive the entire series on CD? The series is offered at a suggested donation of only $16 and includes 5 full-length sermons, nicely packaged for years of good use. You can order on our website, www.randywhiteministries.org, or by calling us toll-free at 1-855-437-9448. Once again, that's 1-855-437-9448. If you prefer, you can also send a $16 check to Randy White Ministries, 600 Pin Oak Road, Katy, Texas, 77494. Dr. White would like to invite you to travel with him to Israel. His next trip is scheduled for late January 2013. You will enjoy 11 exciting days walking where Jesus walked in the ancient land of modern miracles. Each stop of the journey, you will be fascinated as the Bible comes to life in 3D reality right before your eyes. You will gain more Bible knowledge in these few days than you could ever imagine. Information is available at www.randywhiteministries.org or by calling us at 1-855-437-9448. That's 1-855-437-9448. Or simply email Dr. White at randy@randywhiteministries.org. We hope you've been blessed from today's edition of Word for the World with Dr. Randy White. Please contact us today toll-free at 1-855-437-9448. Our website is www.randywhiteministries.org, where you can sign up for Dr. White's daily devotional or weekly doctrinal email. If you would like to write us, our address is 600 Penn Oak Road, Katy, Texas, 77494. Until tomorrow, thank you for joining us on Word for the World.
God has not abandoned Israel unless the sun didn't come up this morning. God is fulfilling the promise just like he said he would, the prophecy. He said, you'll be scattered for many days, but then I'm going to call you back home. If it's a nation created by God, then Israel is a nation protected by God. All these covenants, all these promises, all the Old Testament, all the New Testament, all came to us from the Jews. I think in our daily prayer life, we ought to be praying for the peace of Jerusalem.
I'm Dr. Randy White, and this is friendofzion.com, and I'm grateful you've joined us. Here in Friend of Zion, we have a little word of scripture about Israel, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and we pray for the peace of Jerusalem each and every day. And I am glad that you've joined us today. We've been walking through Zechariah, and in the second chapter, Zechariah receives a vision, and it's a vision about one who comes to measure Jerusalem. And there's an instruction, and that instruction found in verse 4 says, run, speak to that young man. I believe that young man is Zechariah. Run, speak to Zechariah and say, Jerusalem will be inhabited without walls because of the multitude of men and cattle within it. For I declare, I will be a wall of fire around her, and I will be the glory in her midst. What a beautiful prophecy about Jerusalem being, as he says, inhabited without walls because of the multitude of men and cattle within it. Now, you know, people have all sorts of speculations about when this will be. And often many people say, well, this will be during the millennium where the city of Jerusalem will be inhabited without walls. The problem is, when you study the millennial city of Jerusalem, it's described very clearly and very accurately as a city with walls. Of course, in Jesus' day, the city had walls in it, and really all the way down through history, the city had walls in it until these modern days. When you go to Israel now, which you should do, you'll find that there are the old Ottoman walls, but people live on both sides of those walls. They're just remains and relics of the past. You can even find remains of Nehemiah's walls from the Second Temple period. You can even find old Canaanite walls from the time of King David and before. So when this scripture says that Jerusalem will be inhabited without walls because of the multitude of men and cattle in it, it has to describe this day. Friend, what we have is prophecy being fulfilled right before our eyes. This is why you should join me in traveling to Israel in January of 2013. Go to friendofzion.com for information. Heavenly Father, today we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And there is a multitude of men living in Jerusalem today, largest as ever been. And yet we also see this prophecy that the day will come in which you will be glory in her midst. That's what we pray for as we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm Dr. Randy White, and this is friendofzion.com. Go there and join our mailing list, won't you?